Greetings, everyone, and welcome to our second episode of a PMDE podcast. Once again, this is Bloodfencer as your host, and with me is the charming PK. Hello, PK.
Yo, what's up?
Last time we talked a bit about PK herself and the origins of the group. If you've missed it, there's a link to the first episode on our Tumblr, pmdepodcast.tumblr.com, and in the last announcement journal. We might provide links to previous episodes with new announcements. We'll see. Getting back on track, today we want to talk a little about world building and plot. There is a comprehensive summary available on the PMDE wiki, but I'd like to ask you to give us a little recap of the important happenings, PK.
Oh boy, since mission one?
Yes, all the way back to mission one.
Oh goodness. Well, let's see. Mission one was pretty uneventful. It was establishing the guilds, how to participate in the group. Then we moved on to our first event, just because I needed something to do. While we were judging, we needed something for everyone to do. We moved on to mission two, where we introduced Merlot and Slasher. We also introduced the stones, which everyone should remember, which had, which the merchant stone ended up in mission three being used to get into the icy cavern to awaken Sorbet. And the other two stones for the rescuers and the rogues didn't end up getting used. Those ones are still in the tower as of my speaking right now, which is to say I'm just about mission eight. Afterward, Sorbet was in the village for a while. There was a party to celebrate his birthday, which is probably a lie. Yeah. And then he ended up getting sucked into a nightmare illusion, which caused him to have a sort of a hissy fit. And that was no good. Ended up destroying a bunch of the village.
And everyone got mad.
Yeah. Very mad. They had to evacuate and ended up in Merlot's castle, where Devonshire and Merlot had a reunion they didn't know was coming up. Devonshire had forgotten all about Merlot until that moment. And after that, Tau was being rebuilt after Frenel went back and got help from Steel City. And really, he shouldn't have even been able to go into Steel City. He wasn't supposed to be allowed into Steel City, but he managed to get help anyway. So he's sort of resourceful when he wants to be.
He's a sneaky one.
Yeah. Mike got very tired of everything and ended up leaving to visit his mom. And PK and Shroomsworth had sort of a fallout because PK took the thistle whistle to heal Shroomsworth's broken leg. He got that from Slasher back in Mission 4-ish. So she tried to help him out, but he found out she kind of stole it, even though she wanted to return it, and so he left for a while. While in Sapling Village, Shroomsworth went and wanted to take the place of Elder Shroom, who died during the Sorbet attack. But what ended up happening is that his brother evolved and took over that spot, and Shroomsworth went back to Tau. While he was going back to Tau, there was an attack, and Jasmine was kidnapped. She was called forth so that she could help make flowers bloom for a festival so Tau would look nice again. But it ended up that Shade the Zorak kidnapped her for whatever reason. And right during that, everyone went to go rescue her. And Jasmine kind of exploded in a little time bomb and brought a bunch of Pokemon back to the past.
A literal time bomb.
Yes. And after that, Shroomsworth went back to Tau and ended up finding out that everyone had just disappeared, with horrible timing for him. So now we have two timelines going on. This is about mission seven. And there were Pokemon in the far past trying to look for Jasmine, trying to escape from Prismatic Jungle, and trying to capture Shade. And they end up doing all of these things in the far past. And then they, by a sort of miracle, weird situation, Rhodes is able to make a single wish, and he wishes that Jasmine will be able to help him out. And Jasmine gets better enough that she's able to help him and bring him out of his situation, and then she goes back to being ill. So that was really not a good thing to wish for, but it got them out of the situation. And in the present, everyone starts to freak out because they can't do anything, but they still have to continue with doing missions because that's just sort of what happens. And at that point in time, Fennel needs a letter to be delivered to Inanna, and this reveals that things are going down in Tau, that PK's disappeared, etc. So it was a letter just letting Inanna know what was going on in Tau. And shortly after that, Callahan shows up, and he is about ready to reveal something to them, that Shroomsworth is able to give everyone letters from other Pokemon. And this is something Shroomsworth is surprised over because it doesn't make sense to him. And then we come back to the past, where the Pokemon in the past have arrived in past Tau after Jasmine brought them forward. And they end up meeting up with PK's ancestor who founded Tau.
Mikkel.
Yep, Mikkel Nomo. And he is kind of kooky. But yeah, he accidentally finds out through PK slipping up that they're from the future and they're just sort of waiting around trying to find a way to help Jasmine. And he has a way that can help her. So they plan that night to make a trip the next day to go and help Jasmine out by getting some sap from the Tree of Life. And it's a two-person job. It requires Mike and his friends and also Meikle because it's intense, and I guess you'll find out when Mission 8 comes out soon. And the other thing is that the Zoroark of the past are going to start attacking that day because they attack each new moon. So they have to split at like the worst time possible. And they're going to find out more details about that the next day as well. So that's that. And Meikle has them write letters to their loved ones just in case something happens. And there's no harm in doing that in case they don't return in time or whatever. He knows that that's just the reality. If something happens to Jasmine, they'll want to like send letters forward if they can. Or if she brings them to like the wrong time, they'll want letters in place, you know? So anyway, we fast forward to the present when they're opening the letters. Everyone gets these letters, and that's actually about where we are in the story, is we're finding out what happens after the letters, and we're finding out what happens now that there's these two goals in the past they have to achieve.
That was about everything now, wasn't
That was a lot. I'm sure there's
it?
plenty of things I could go into more detail over, but that was the chunk, the main story.
Yeah, but I think you forgot one important little detail.
Did I?
Winston died.
Oh my gosh, how is that important at all?
Interesting little tidbit.
Well,
Every admin hates Winston.
yeah.
Or hate it because he's gone now.
I had to set it up so that if Winston died, he could not be brought back by Jasmine. Winston's death was the condition for Jasmine being able to bring them forward. Without that, she would still be sick. So there's no way that Winston can be brought back. It's just not possible.
So he was the only one who could never return from the past.
Yes.
But wow, that sure is a lot to fill the group's lifespan.
Yeah, I'm sorry if anything was a little jumbled. I tried to get it all straight in my head, but yep.
But considering it's only like what, 1.5 years now since the group started?
Almost. We're almost reaching 2 years, April 1st.
Yeah. Of course, this all had to start somewhere. As we already pointed out in the last episode, you wanted to create a group where everyone could contribute without any sort of elimination, and that someone pointed you toward the PMD games as a basis. What were
Yes.
some of the initial ideas you guys came up with?
Oh my goodness, that's so long ago. Well, I knew we had to
OMG.
Yeah, well, I knew we had to do something with the guilds. I wasn't sure what at first. I was trying to think of a way that we could have little conflicts going on between them because I really needed something like that. I wasn't sure how many would be good. At first, I thought maybe only two, but then I thought, well, let's have a theme going on. Let's have the dragons of Unova. Reshiram, Zekrom, Kirim. Let's have a theme going on with that. So let's try and have three guilds. We have the obvious good guys, the sort of shady guys, and then the neutral people. So I needed a name for them. I was like, what do we call it? What, rescuers? Sure. Rogues? Sure. What should be the middle? Let's just go with merchants, I guess. That was the last guild I came up with, if I remember right. Because I wasn't sure what a neutral. I think at first we called them like the escorters or something stupid because there was like escort missions. So
Oh my God, escort
yeah.
missions.
Yeah, escort missions. As you might want to remember that, like mission one, there were a bunch of like little merchant escort missions and things like that. And that was because there were a lot of those in the actual games. And I wasn't really sure what to do until I was like, well, we can just have Pokemon who don't care about either side, but they care about money. And I was like, yeah. And then I could actually use Kecleon because there's canon for that in the games. And it worked out like I'm just picking Kecleon just because, which I was, but it worked out really well in my favor.
It really did. And so far, the plot has only explored a tiny fragment of all the amazing places that exist in the PMD world. Most of them have names, but not much information available on them yet. Except
Yeah.
for places like Mossy Village, which you recently created a small map of sorts for.
Yeah. Hopefully, what we want to do is each month when the tasks come out, it will feature a different place. And I will have map or a little like concept art type thing for each place with a little bit of information about that place and then tasks for that place. So people can feel free to sort of explore these new places without us having actual storyline related missions. Because I know, like, it's not always most exciting to stick around in Tao forever. So it's nice to have some variety and some places that you can go to. And if that changes every month, which means it should change twice per mission, that should give a lot more variety for what people can do with their storylines.
That actually sounds really intriguing. Can you give us a hint on what we can expect from some of these places? Without spoilers, of course, if at all possible.
Well, when Gambitville is explored more, it will be sort of a southern western theme. I know it's like north of all the stuff, northeast actually. So it's the exact opposite. But it's sort of a southern thing going on. And I'm not sure. Let's see. Maybe we'll take a look. No, I don't remember. I have a whole list of each of the places that we'll be looking at, but I can't remember which is what and which is next. One of the places that everyone will get to take a look at, but not go to yet, is the slums near Prismatic Jungle, because that's actually an important place, but it wouldn't seem so because I haven't mentioned it or anything really yet. But it should be interesting because the slums are actually supposed to be like Steel City, except
Run
a
down.
ship's version. And seeing that they're in disrepair right now, I hope should get people thinking about what they're like in the past. So we'll get to explore that soon. Or at least I will get to tell a, t a story about that soon, and then people will get to explore that in the present, hopefully, sometime.
All right, so lots of exciting places for us soon.
Yeah.
You also revealed the existence of other continents, or rather, you revealed their names in the recent Mission 8 prologue, as the
Yeah.
existence had been hinted at in the past.
Yeah.
What are the chances of our teams to get on a boat and visit some exotic far-off lands, and what are they
Well,
like?
there's not a very good chance recently in soon times because, well, there's the whole issue going on with the stormy seas between Tao continent and Vel continent. There's really no good way to sail over there or even fly over there because the seas are stormy like 90% of the time. And when they're not stormy, if you're sailing or flying, they're just going to end up stormy while you're traveling. So, that will be, I can't talk about exactly when that's going to be resolved or at least how that's going to go. But after that, there's a chance so there can be missions elsewhere.
All right. So now that we have already delved a bit into plot-related territory, let's talk some more. Last time I told you how amazing I was at the scale of your work for the prologues and epilogues has taken on recently. But of course, this is not just a lot of art and music, but also writing. Without writing, you would have nothing to base your illustrations on. Who is involved in creating and writing down the group's plot, and how far in advance do you usually plan things out?
I do all of the big plot related writing. Like, if there are stories, those probably came about because I talked about them needing to get done. Everything goes through me. All of the stories go through me. All of the writing goes through me. I have to look at everything first. Sometimes someone like Marl, or the Devonshire creator, he will make up something and I'll look over and be like, yeah, that's good. But for all of the critical stuff that's going to happen and affect people for missions, like, I have to say, like, 97% of it is something I knew about first and that I told them this needs to happen. And I think most of the writing this time for the part one, part two, etc., of the Mission 8 prologue, I have to say about 95% of it was my writing. I only brought in other people if their character was hard to write for, and I told them what I needed. So, like Caldera, I can't write Caldera worth a rat's ass. He is so, like, his vocabulary, his fucking precise usage of, I can't do that. I can try really hard, but then it sounds like I'm trying hard, so.
Yeah, he's quite a complex little fucker.
Yeah, I have to bring in Evie and have him help me out when it comes to Caldera.
Oh yeah. Those two are practically soulmates.
Yeah.
Of course, you cannot plan too far ahead. Most of the plot
No.
is influenced by various factors like personal business among the admins and, of course, member participation.
Yes.
An example for the first factor would be Chilled's resignation as guild leader for the rescuers. Now, I won't ask you what exactly happened. Frankly, that is none of our business and it is in the past now, but some question that sometimes pops up is whether Chill will ever appear in the story again.
Well, that's a question that I would like to edge away from for now.
All right.
I think, well, yeah, just let's pretend that question didn't happen for now, and you can ask it again later.
All right, so no comment on that one for
Yeah, no
now.
comment.
But here's the question I think interests all of the members the most. How exactly does member contribution affect the plot? There are some rather obvious effects, like the race to Monochrome Tower back in Mission 3, as you already
Yeah.
mentioned, where the guild tried to resurrect one of the legendary dragons. But every once in a while, I see complaints that there doesn't really seem to be much of an effect coming from our contribution. So tell us,
It's
what other things had been affected by certain guilds winning a mission?
Gosh, it's hard to like directly say, yeah, all of this has been affected because what happens is there are different, I guess, paths that people choose, and the story kind of seamlessly adapts that path. We could be totally down an entirely different path if it hadn't been for different guilds. One example I will give, I know I've mentioned this one before, but some people haven't heard of it, is when PK stole the Thistle Whistle, she also had the choice to not take it at all, which would have meant she and Shroomsworth would have parted on fine terms. It wouldn't have been a problem. And he would have come back and been less sad about things. She would have been less bitter about that. And most important of all is Twiggs probably would not have come back into the story for a while. He wouldn't have come back probably till Arc 3. So he made like an entire arc leap forward because of this.
Well, it would have been a shame if we had to go without him.
Yeah, actually, he's made things really interesting, but the thing is I don't know what would have happened if Twiggs had not made his appearance. I don't know how that would have turned out because things just turned out that way. I can't say like, okay, he wouldn't have showed up, so all of this would have happened because after he's shown up, the entire path of Arc 2 sort of works itself around the fact that now he's in the story. It just sort of, I don't know, happens without a big noticeable gap or extra space. It's like not, I guess, not conspicuous. So, also, a recent thing happened. You won't get to see that until part four of Mission 8, but we had to finish our judging really quick so we could take a look at who was the winner. And if you're thinking about it, you should be able to tell what path was taken. This would have permanently messed up PK and Shroomsworth's relationship if X was chosen. So, you should be able to tell. I will say that their relationship isn't totally messed up. That's, I guess, a little bit of a spoiler, but still not in a very good spot. I really can't wait for people to see part four because we've done a lot of planning for this for over a year now.
Over a
It's
year.
exciting. Yeah, like it's not been intense planning, but it's been loose. And as we got closer and closer to this time, the planning got more and more precise. And that's what's really fun is each of the missions I've had an idea about for a very long time. But as it gets right before the mission, we get to fill in all the details with stuff that's relevant, and it's really fun. But yeah, we just hit one of these branches. And this would have made things go really differently for one of the guilds. One of these guilds gets a mission that's really special. And also, this affects all of the guilds in a really big way. So hopefully people should be able to tell this time that their participation affected it.
Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, aside from that though, like when people do really good ideas in their comics, sometimes we take those and use those in the story. Just to mention that on the side.
That actually brings me to another question I had. What happens when someone comes up with a really great idea for the story that fascinates you and receives approval of everyone else involved in the creative process, although you're probably the most important one? Do you try to implement it immediately somehow, or do you just...
Yeah, actually, we sometimes go back and retcon things a little so that their story was the actual story that happened. The biggest example I can think of was Mission 2. This happened with Magnolia. Someone made her up for their story. It was Choco Chimbu. She made Magnolia up for her story, and we ended up making Magnolia a real NPC. And that was the reason Merlot was sad, etc. And it's really interesting when people come up with reasons for things that make total sense, and I want to use them. So that's really cool when that happens. Someone also, I can't remember the user, but someone gave each of Shade's kids a distinct look. And so I based each of her kids' names off of those names, and the looks, I based them off of the looks the original person gave them when they appeared in those missions, which is really cool.
Oh, that's pretty interesting, actually, and would probably explain why Smudge has such a weird picture on the wiki.
Yeah.
Of course, you probably can't tell us too much about Smudge because Smudge hasn't appeared yet.
Yeah, that's no comment.
Top secret. Top secret.
Worry, after this next after Mission 8 comes out, everyone's gonna be really happy about a lot of questions they wanted answered.
Ah, that's excellent. And of course, it always leaves us some it leaves us something to work with for the next podcast, so we can answer any questions
Yeah.
that are still unanswered or that people were I don't want to say not clever enough to figure out.
Sometimes it takes a little bit of thinking and people forget that. I'm glad that I guess I'm glad that this storyline isn't a baby storyline, but it's not super complex. Like, something that I'm really happy about is when a plot line was really obvious in hindsight. I really like when stories work up to a certain point, such as a lot of people didn't realize Jasmine would be used for time travel because we introduced her in the context of she's making plants grow. And that made me laugh so hard. I was so glad for that.
Oh my God, is Zelebi that can time travel?
Yeah, we took
Woo.
everyone by surprise. I was very happy. There were a couple people who were like, "Oh, I knew that something like this was gonna happen," but for the most part, everyone was shocked. Like, "Oh, I didn't see that coming, but I should have."
PMT is actually full of tiny little hints that make really a lot of sense if you think about them in hindsight. Like, Gunpowder's real name and the name of his brother,
Yeah.
Dorson and Finnegan.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Dorson, Finnegan? What does that sound like? Dorsal fin.
You got it.
My mind was blown when I got that the first time.
We always like doing dumb theme names. It's really fun.
All
I don't
right.
know. I don't know if anyone noticed it, but like Devonshire's whole crew all had food names.
Oh my God.
Even Devonshire himself.
Oh yeah, you I think you actually mentioned that in the chat at some point
Yep.
that he was named after some sort of British, was it bread?
It was the Devonshire cream.
Devonshire cream. Right. All right, that actually wraps up today's episode. I've run out of questions. You
I
re
did way too much talking.
No, you didn't. You really blasted through them at the speed of light. Join us again next week when I want to try something a little different and have the episode focus on certain characters or locations. Send us your questions and suggestions to the aforementioned Tumblr and the DA Journal. We love to read them and we love to implement some of them wherever possible. Thank you, PK, for taking the time to talk to us again. A goodbye to you.
See ya.
As always, this has been Blood Fencer with PMD Podcast, signing off.